We've been talking about our lives being under construction. We said it's awesome that we come to Jesus just as we are, but we shouldn't stay that way. Every day we should be more like Jesus. God should be moving in our hearts, in our lives, inside of us. And we've started out this series with the verse Joshua 3:6. And I felt like at the time, we're now going back about 2.5 months, this was really pertinent to us, and I still think it is. And the verse was, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And we talked about how being sanctified, and those of you that were here will remember, I'll use an example. In my house, there's lots of different types of brushes. If you remember this, we got a brush that we might use to scrub mud off something. Maybe one of the kids spills something on the floor, the brush comes out and scrubs the floor. In our bathroom, there's a hairbrush. It's technically Kat's hairbrush, but it went in my hair this morning. It goes in the boy's hair. Everybody uses the hairbrush. But we also have toothbrushes. And toothbrushes, they're not for anything else. And we don't share them. I gave the example, Levi had misplaced his toothbrush, and I caught him with mine. And then he got a new toothbrush. And I got a new toothbrush. You know, but at the same time, the very next day, I was eating a sandwich, and he was like, "What's that?" And I just handed it to him. He took a bite and handed it back. I took a bite, and we ate the rest of the sandwich like that. But, you know, when it comes to toothbrushes, a toothbrush is set apart for a specific purpose. And so the idea is that we set ourselves apart for the purpose of God on the earth. We were created for purpose, we were created for a reason, and we set ourselves apart and make that the purpose. We don't just allow every purpose that comes by. Like, toothbrushes, you can use them for cleaning, but you don't use this one. Yeah, what I'm saying. So we're just reviewing that. And so we also talked about being works in progress. We come to Jesus just as we are. We don't stay that way. And we use this phrase, and we're going to probably continue to use it. It's mind renovation. We change the way we think. Life transformation. We change the way we live. You guys have seen, there's a whole slew of programs about weight loss on TV. I used to watch The Biggest Loser. I found that very awesome and inspiring. Many of you may have seen it. And really, it's a mind transformation. You know, if you don't change the way you think about food, it doesn't matter how much you lose when you're at their boot camp, you will gain it back. You guys have all heard the analogy, people who win the lottery, they don't have it. 3-4 years later, it's all gone, because their mind wasn't changed to manage that wealth. They stayed in their same routines of having no money. And so, mind renovation, life transformation, and we read this verse almost every week for the last 2.5 months. It's Romans 12:2, "And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The New Living Translation says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." And so we talked about in this season specifically, our world, there's a lot of pressure for us to conform, for us to be told how to act, what to do, and how to think. And the reality of what should be happening, what God's doing in here, should be shaping our world. And we've seen this as a body, and I'll get into that in a second, and I've seen it a little bit in my personal life. When we went into the pandemic, I had an awkward call with the old landlord that said, "Hey, bro, I don't know what's going on. I will get you the rent money when I can get you the rent money." He wasn't real cool with that, but it needed to be said. And, you know, and then the Lord started to speak to me, you know, and we read this verse a bunch too. Isaac, there was a famine in the land. Isaac sowed in the famine and reaped the harvest 100-fold. And so we went into this pandemic and we started talking about that. We started talking about no matter what's happening in the world around us, God can still do something amazing among us. And I think we came out of it with something amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ask me how it happened, I can't really tell you. You know, it was one little thing at a time, one step, one opportunity. I mean, I remember being here with Ted and Keith and Tiffany and looking at this building with these ugly valances. I learned a new word. And this big pillar. And being like, can we use this space for a church? And like, you know, feeling good about it and talking and praying and being everybody having peace. Nobody had a big open heaven vision that this was the space. but can we transform what was an adult daycare into a church? And the answer is yes, because yesterday there was a wedding here.
Oh, thank you very much. Very nice. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I saw a picture. We should get that picture around to show people later. Yeah. And you know, in this time in the earth, churches, some churches with great, nice, beautiful buildings are a little paranoid about people coming into their church. You know, but we were positioned in a way that we can easily wipe everything off. It's not huge. Everything's been sanitized by them and by us. You know, we took no necessary risk. And, you know, regardless of what you believe about that. And there was a beautiful wedding here. Now, it was also a nice day outside in the evening. So, weatherman, whatever. But this is what's happening, you know. And so, we've seen in here, everything we needed was here. This new sound system donated needed two special wires. We had the two special wires in the old sound system. Why we had them? I don't know why anyone bought them for that system. There was no plugs that took them, but they were there and now they're here. You know, so the Lord's moving. You guys, and even to the extent of this, last Sunday night, a friend came over. He wanted to chat with me. Did you guys know there's a nice porch area over here?
Yeah.
Two or three guys can sit there outside and talk.
Outside the kitchen.
Yeah. So we sat out there, we had a nice talk. He had been having some, not COVID related, having some trouble with polyps and breathing. They gave him some steroids to try to clear that up. That screwed up his digestive tract. He was having a ton of pain in his back and he didn't know why. So after we visited out there, we came in here and prayed. The next morning I got this text like, hey, I don't have anything. I'm totally healed.
Nice. All right.
So this was an adult daycare center. And now it's church, and the Lord did that, and I'm so far off my notes. Anyway, so what's happening inside of us can impact what the Lord can do inside of us when we renew our mind with His Word can impact the world around us. Now, you guys know this. We talked about this too. Colossians 1:13, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. So we were rescued from one kingdom. Now we're part of another kingdom. We transferred. Other translations say transferred. I shared an embarrassing story about when I transferred from Lansdale to Pottstown and how I drove all the way to Harleysville because I live in Pottstown. You know, and when I went to that other office, even though it was the same company, I had to learn a new culture. They called things different names. They looked at me crazy when I called them by the right name. You know, so this is what we're doing. We are transferred out of the culture of the world's mindset. Said it on, what I'm calling it is what it says on it. Do we have form numbers? Never mind. Okay. Lots of forms in the post office that you fill out. Anyway, so you were transferred. And so Paul, we're going to talk about this a little bit today. In Acts chapter 26, I'm going to read a few verses if you want to turn there. If you trust me to read it for what it says, you don't have to turn there. Paul recounts his conversion. And this is Paul talking about the encounter he had with Jesus. And it says, while thus occupied, so what's he occupied with doing? He's out there arresting, stoning, capturing Christians, right? That's what he was doing. So while he was occupied doing that, as I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, he's talking to the king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me, and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen on the ground, I heard a voice speak, saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise to your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles to whom I send you now, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified in faith. So this is a picture of what's happening to Paul. He's turned, and this is his message, he's turning people from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light, from a kingdom where you're accountable for your sins to a kingdom where you can be forgiven of your sins. Do you see how it's different? And we need to learn to think under the new kingdom. So when we established that there was two different kingdoms and we were no longer like the world, we were in a different kingdom, a kingdom that's God's kingdom, we also talked about this because it was so important in the season. I read you Mark 8:15. Then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." In the contemporary English version, the same verse reads, "Jesus warned them, watch out, guard against the yeast of Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." And we talked about this. We talked about how there's two different mindsets, we called them. One that's a religious mindset, one that's a political mindset. And so here's the thing. We have to have an understanding of those two systems because we live in the world, but those two systems do not change what God can do among us. So it's what we said was we're not part of a political game or a religious system. We're part of God's kingdom. Amen. And in every circumstance that we come into contact with the earth, we have the ability to connect with heaven and release the kingdom of God into that circumstance. So you guys know on the earth right now, this is a political game. They're making a game. I love that no one stands up and tells why they're going to do a good job anymore. Nobody says, this is why I'm qualified to be your government official. This is what I'd like to do in the nation. The other guy, he's going to do something different. This is what I'm going to do. Instead, we just want to make the other guy look so bad that I look like a good option. You know, and that's not a kingdom mindset. That's a political mindset. And, you know, we're not a people that engage with that mindset. Are you going to lead this nation in a godly way? Is the only question that we should be asking. Both parties have put out their platforms. You can read them. Does your viewpoint and platform line up with what God said in His Bible, or does it not? And it should be basically very easy. You know, I wish that we had, and someday we might, and someday we will, and some of you may be called to do it, godly government officials, locally, nationally, you know. But until we start seeing that, our mindset is, whoever's going to be the rule the most godly is who we should vote for. Sorry, I didn't mean to give you that speech. That's not in my notes. All right, so let's talk about, we're part of the kingdom of God. We have access to the kingdom of God. So the progression of the kingdom of God in the world, word of God, not the world, the word of God. The progression of the kingdom of God. In the Old Testament, it was prophesied, the kingdom of God is coming. John the Baptist hit the scene, beginning of the New Testament, and he said, repent, turn from your sin, turn from your way of thinking that's sinful, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus, during his ministry, if you read how he phrases it, he's using at hand, very near. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is very near. And then Jesus dies. He conquers sin and death. He rises again. He makes atonement for our sin before the Father. And now the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, and the kingdom of God is in us. Does that make sense? So I wanted to read you guys some verses about the kingdom to help us have a correct mindset about the kingdom. Daniel chapter 7, we'll read some Old Testament verses, we'll read some New Testament verses. I'm going to do a lot of scripture real quick. So if you want to write them down or listen to it later and look them up. Daniel chapter 7, this is Daniel's vision. It's kind of a different one to pull out for this, but I want you to see this. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. So he's having a disturbing vision, and you can read it on your own. There's like disturbing things in his vision. And I came near to one of those who stood by, and I asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four, are four kings, which will arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So I know, again, a weird verse. He's having this vision with all these beasts. It's a disturbing vision. There's disturbing things that are going to happen, but there's a but. But the saints of the Most High, that's us. You don't have to be dead to be a saint. It's not a way to honor people who lived awesomely. For some people it is. I don't want to knock it. Go for it. Tell me some great stories of some great saints that moved in the power of God. But the saints are us who receive Jesus. The saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. And the reason I read you this is because of the way that reads. So you have this terrible vision that's going to be the four kings of the earth which arise. But don't worry about it, because the saints of the Most High are going to receive the kingdom of God and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. And so I want that to be really encouraging. So you can look, like, we should be aware of what's going on in the world. You know, my prayer is if there's anything shady going on, let's have that exposed. You know, I'm not going to lay up at night and worry about it, but it's like, Lord, whatever's really happening, make that clear to the people who love you here and the people that are going to come to love you. And everybody in America can see clearly, not through all this blur and all this fog of all this chaos, clearly what you're doing and what's really happening. And so that's how the attitude we should have. Like, you're looking at this thing, you got all this media, all this social media, all these people acting certain ways, all this... I want to tell you a story, but you all get mad, so I'm not going to tell you. I saw some people acting totally crazy to somebody that I thought was, like, being American, you know, having some patriotism. And so now some of you are kind of, you know, forgive. You don't know them. Forgive. Pray the Lord meets them. All right. But I saw that, and what I was like, okay, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. I'm going to read to you Psalm 145. If you guys got the song lyrics, it's on there. I think I'm going to read it in that version later, but it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." And then it says, "All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you." Well, how do they do that? The next verse. "They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. To make known to the sons of men his mighty earth, acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations." And really, that's my challenge to us today. Are we a people in this season? What's in our lips? What's in our mouth? What are we speaking of? Are we speaking of the glory of God's kingdom? Talking about the power of God? Talking about what God has done, what God could do, what God will do, what God is doing? Or are we talking about the chaos around us? You know, I'm right there with you guys. I work in the world and I hear all this stuff. And the Postmaster General has been in the hot seat all week and for 2 weeks. And actually, the mailman is kind of enjoying that. But it's happening around us. But it's what's on my lips, the goodness of the Lord and his kingdom, or just the stuff going on around me. So Matthew 3:1-2, we talked about this. "Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Luke 8:1, soon afterward, he began going from one city and village to another," this is Jesus, "proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him." Matthew 4:17, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Matthew 9:35, "Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease." Matthew 10:7, "As you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Luke 4:43, "But he said to them, 'I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities, for I was sent for this purpose.'" Luke 9:2, "And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing." Luke 10:8-9, "If a town welcomes you, follow these two rules. Eat whatever is set before you. Number two, heal the sick. And as you heal them, say, the kingdom of God is very near you now." You know, so these are all verses from Jesus' ministry. Some when he's sending people out, some when he's going places. And so it's really easy for us to read all the fine print of what Jesus taught, and we should. We should know the Beatitudes. We should know the parables. We should apply the things that he said to our lives. But when he's talking about the overarching subject that he's preaching, what is it?
The kingdom
of God. You know, so don't get caught up in the fine print. Know the fine print. It's important. You know, but I think a lot of times we come and we approach the world with the fine print instead of the overarching. The kingdom of God is here and you can be part of it. I'm going to read the last verse because I think it's awesome. Luke 10, 8 and 9. This is when he's sending out 70. If a town welcomes you, follow these two rules. Eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick. And as you heal them, say, the kingdom of God is very near you. So let's look at Acts. You know, a lot of people want to talk about how we should be a church like Acts. And that is awesome. I'm all for it. If we want to have the Holy Spirit the way they had the Holy Spirit in Acts, if we want to have the angelic visitations the way they had them in Acts, if, you know, it's so common in Acts to see an angel that when Peter's arrested and the angel sets him free, they think that it's an angel at the door and not Peter. It's less faith for them to believe that the angel showed up than Peter was actually released from prison. And so in Acts 1:3, it says, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, that's Jesus, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking to them things concerning the kingdom of God. So what was the subject of the things he talked about? The kingdom of God. Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, men and women alike. So Philip was preaching. What was he preaching? The good news.
The kingdom.
About the kingdom of God. Acts 9:18. And he, this is Paul, entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. So this is the subject matter of the people of the kingdom. And then you guys know, in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, when you pray, your kingdom come. That's the first. You address God, our Father. Where's God in heaven? It's our Heavenly Father. What do we pray first? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm going to close this up because we have a meeting as well. I want to thank everybody for hanging out after the chat. And I'm looking around, and that's open to anybody that wants to stay. We're just going to talk about some things. But I'm going to read Psalm 145 again, and I felt like we could read it together. So if you have a Bible, if you have the words on the back of your music, lyrics, there's some of them sitting over there if anyone wants to grab one. I just wanted to read that together, and then we're going to pray. But my challenge today is that we would be a people, the people of God, with the kingdom of God in our thoughts and coming out of our mouths. You know, the goodness of God. And I think, you know, for some of us, we might feel like, well, I don't have those stories. I don't have those testimonies yet. You have a whole book full of them. You have a whole book of examples of the power of God and the kingdom of God and when the kingdom of God invades someone's life. Who's ready to read? Anybody ready to read with me? You guys got it? All right. I just looked at the pile of papers thinking nobody has it. All right. So this is the New Living Translation. If you have the New Living Translation, it's on the paper. Sorry. I know that's not one most people carry around. It's the one my dad reads.
It says it's New King James.
Does it?
Do you need one?
Yeah, I need one.
I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation.
All right, everybody speak in tongues. Yep, that's the New King James version. Who is this guy, and how does he make these notes? All right. You guys ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, deep breath. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works. All of your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you, and they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom, and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. So, Father, we thank you that you've brought us into your everlasting kingdom. Give us eyes to see what you're doing, ears to hear what you're doing, and the boldness to partner with you in every circumstance. We're so grateful that you've brought us into your kingdom. Lord, show us all the areas in our lives and what you want to do in each of those spheres of influence, in each of the places where we walk. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks, everybody.